go. Greetings to you guys once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I greet you all in that name that's above. That name that's above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Because He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's above it all. And in Him, we live and we move and we have our being. And we continue on in this paradigm, in this amazing, sometimes crazy, turbulent, tumultuous paradigm. Because of God's plan, God's purpose, and you and I are here for His reasons. Not of ourselves, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. So to check out from here is to be done with your window and your season. But to be here is to be about what God wants, not what we want. So the world is always looking very, very hard to try to sell you what it wants, which is to get you to be part of the system, to get you to play your role in their thing. But for us, that's not what we want. We don't want to be part of their thing. We want to be part of God's thing. We want to be part of what He's doing, not of ourselves, not of our own mind, not of our own thinking, not of the programming of the world, which if you're part of the programming of the world, well, you're part of the programming of the thief. And the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so when you engage in the programming of the world, what you're doing is just engaging in a program where the part that you play steals and kills and destroys. And the more that you do in line with that destruction, the more that they will push you in their system. And, you know, it's something that... It's something that, you know, we continually have to deal with while we're here. We continually have to deal with the challenges of being here, the strain, the stress of being here. Just the press that you get from being around all of this, because it's not easy. It's not nice. You know, it's not nice to feel the things that we feel. I mean, scriptures talk about how for Lot, you know, it grieved him in his spirit to be where he was. It grieved him to be surrounded by the world. In the way that he was surrounded, it was tough for him. You know, he was a righteous man, but he, and so for him to be around all of that continuously was hard, because you know, you feel it in your spirit, you feel the contrary nature of what the world is and who you are. You feel the contrary nature in yourself of, okay, this is what I'm about and this is what they're about. And it is not a nice feeling at all. It is not, because you're in hostile territory. Theirs is not a predisposition to life. Theirs is one where they can't sleep unless they cause somebody to fall, somebody to stumble. You know, it's amazing, because you, even now these days, if you watch, you look at some of the programming out there, it's amazing how much of the programming has just open, overt witchcraft in the programming. They used to try to hide it. They used to try to keep things a little bit more covert, a little bit more hidden, a little bit more in the background. Now it's just right there. It's in the open. It's in the plot line. It's in the visuals. It's in the music. It's in the symbols and the imagery. It's just, they just bombard you with it again and again and again and again, because they're trying to soften everybody up to this. You know, white magic, black magic, you know, oh, there's the good evil and then there's the bad evil. And the thing is that with what they're trying to do and what they're trying to push, when you understand that, you know, it's there are no 50 shades of gray, okay, when it comes to evil. It's are you on the side of truth, or are you on the side of the world and the enemy? You know, there are no gradients. And if you're one of God's, you're going to be different. If you're one of the world's, you're going to be different. You're going to be part of that whole thing. So now we, those that, you guys are listening here, you're part of God's thing. And you've been seeking to follow Him, and you've been seeking to walk this out. But the challenges that we face in doing that have not been easy at all. The strains against your spirit have been hard. And, you know, in the middle of doing that, because you're on the way out and you're exiting this world, well, every resource of this world is there to try to keep people from exiting the world system, to keep people from leaving, to keep those souls attached to that pyramid, to keep the consciousness engaged in the creation. There's of destruction, the creation of destruction. So they're working very hard at that all the time. And so when you are deciding that you want to leave, well, you know, they can't afford that, because they need that soul. So all of what the world is and what the world is about comes full bore to try to keep you from getting out. So you face the oppression, you face the opposition, you face the thwarting of your ideas, of your talents, of your abilities, of your options, of the things that you create. You watch them be undermined, of your ideas being stolen or being butchered, of your companies being attacked for no apparent reason. You do good work, and yet in the middle of that you face just crazy things happen, not normal business practices. Absolutely crazy, insane things happen. Well, you know, that's kind of the way the world is tooled. Now, as God gives us more wisdom and knowledge and insight, He may show you ways to navigate through that. Sometimes He may just have you exit. But whatever it is, you recognize that you're in hostile territory. You recognize that when God said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We don't know, and so therefore when we don't know, what we act on is many, many times in a place of limited knowledge, limited understanding, ignorance, and then we get destroyed in our ignorance. We get destroyed in the attack of the enemy. So if it's the case that you're going to walk this thing out, you need God to give you wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and I would also say the power to be able to act on what He shows you. Because what good does it do if you know, but you can't apply? You can know all these things, but what do? You need to be able to have application. You need to have the power to be able to apply it. That's something I've been thinking about a little bit more as time goes on, is what, you know, you've got to be able to be in a role, in a position, in the capability to do something with what God shows you. Otherwise, what good is it? You know, you can know about how to fix atmospheric conditions on Jupiter or on Venus, but, you know, you're here on Earth. So all that understanding, unless you're doing something, some way connected to that, some way related to that, well, what good does that pursuit do you? Or do anybody, really? When you could make a difference where you are. You could make a difference in what's in front of you. So, you know, in an abundance of and surrounded by all types of knowledge around us at all times, you know, you've got to know what to do with that knowledge. And right now, there's the challenge, which is that we're surrounded by so much, and yet so few people know what to do with that. So few people know what to do with that with the information that's there. They can't action it, but everything is there in front of them. So, you know, the scriptures talk about how in the end times, how knowledge would increase. And there is the increasing of the knowledge, but understanding has not gone up. Wisdom has not gone up. But a lot of knowledge has gone out there. There's so much information out there, tons of information. But where is the knowledge? Where is the wisdom? Where is the understanding? The knowledge is there. Where is the wisdom? Where is the understanding? Where is the power to be able to do something with what you know and understand? So, for us, for the child of God, wisdom and understanding is a powerful thing. And you want God to give you that, an understanding heart, so that in what's around us and in what we face, we can act on what God shows us. I think we're starting to get clarity, and I do think that as time is going on, in many of these cases where the enemy has set us up, God is kind of moving things where we're being shook loose. And sometimes it's a bit concerning, because when you are shaken loose, you don't have the constructs of that prison around you anymore. You know, there's people, they go to prison, and when they come out, it's very tough for them because they've been institutionalized for so long. And when you've been institutionalized, what do? When you come out, because now you don't have that routine, you don't have that structure, you don't have that assurance. You know, a lot of people like their slavery because they know what to expect. And freedom is a bit too terrifying for them, because now they're responsible for themselves, for their actions, for their choices, for their decisions. A lot of people don't want that because it's terrifying. I mean, they might say they want it. It's a nice ideal. But in actuality, they don't want it. They want somebody to stand there and tell them what to do. You know, all the way back to when God started speaking to them in Exodus 20 and gave them the commandments. And then the people themselves were like, oh, you know, this is too much for us. Moses, here, you go talk to God, and then come back and tell us what he said, and then we'll do what you tell us. And then they did that. And then subsequently, they're like, well, who do you think you are, Moses? So, I mean, it's been there from the start. The syndrome has been there from the start. People don't want to hear from God for themselves because they don't want the responsibility of what God would say and what they'd have to do. Because when God was speaking to them from the mountain, and he's speaking to them, and he's telling them, you know, thou don't make an image in my, you know, don't, you won't have any graven images, you won't, you know, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery. It's like, whoa, every time people are hearing that, and now, what are you going to do? Here's the eternal God telling you, instructing you, and now you have nowhere to go. You can't say he didn't say that, because you were right there, and he spoke to you. And people didn't want the truth. John 16, you know, now this is the verdict. Now, first, light came into the world, but this was the verdict. Men chose the darkness because their deeds were evil. People didn't want the truth because they wanted to go on, and their deeds were evil. So they want to detach. So they don't want that connection, that link, that responsibility of who they are and what they've done, and they don't want that. So what they want is they want somebody else to stand there between them and God, and to tell them what to do, and then in the process of that happening, then they want. Because their deeds are evil, they want to now be able to make an excuse and undermine the person so that they don't have to deal with the actual reality of what's real. So, no absolute truth, no standard. Put God over there, put somebody between, and then surround yourselves with teachers that tell you what your itching ears want to hear. That's the time that we live in. In the last days, you know, people will be, well, lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. They're going to hate the things that are good. They're going to cling to the things that are evil. They're going to surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. What do these teachers tell them today? Will they tell them the truth? No. Will they tell them what's real? No, because people want and will pay for, tell me what I want to hear. Not what's real and not what's true. Tell me what I want to hear. If you do that, I'll let you come back next week and tell me again. If you don't do that, I'm going to cut you apart because I don't want to hear the truth, right? Right? Isn't that the way that it works? How many truth speakers do we know of that have gone and they've gone and they put the truth out of their own expense, on their own accord, and they've taken the time to do that and do it well and do it diligently. And in the process of doing that, in the process of putting out the truth at their own expense just to bless people, and what they've met with has been hostility, animosity, slander, guile, you know, very little appreciation. Some appreciation, but a lot of just blowback from the world. And freely they've received and freely they give, and yet what they get back is just contempt for putting out the truth, for seeking to walk with God in a mission to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, when I think back to some of the things that we've, I mean, just, I don't know if you've been checking, but faithmix.com, the website's been down for days. And, you know, as we've gone and checked into it people had, like, you know, that have been helping and supporting on that part, there's no reason for it. They can't explain why. So, you know, continuously, I mean, and this is not some big site. This is not some massive thing. This is just, but it's inconvenient truth that the world doesn't want out there. And we've faced DNS attacks, we've faced spiritual attacks, we've faced, you know, in this case, just complete mystery why things are taken down. No answer. None. So, in order to deal with this stuff, you've just got to take things one step at a time. You know, you've got to deal with sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And sometimes, you know what? Don't try to take on and shoulder all the burdens of the world and everything else. Just deal with what is in front of you right now for this day. Because this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the situation that you're facing right now. So deal with the situation you're facing right now in and of itself. Let God quicken you and deal with that. Don't try to fix everything else. You know, this day, pray for the things that God's made you aware of. You allow the Spirit of God to quicken you, show you how to pray, how to engage. You know, rather than facing all of these things in such a way that we allow for the overwhelming of ourselves our minds and our hearts, rather than facing it like that, because you can easily be overwhelmed by all of this stuff. Rather than allowing for that, you've got to also tend your soul a bit, right? And with what you face, bring it all back to God and put it in prayer. Because if you try to take it all on and do it of yourself and your own ability and your own accord, you're going to be overcome just with so much sadness and so much sorrow. But if you let God direct it, he will not let you go and be tested beyond what you can withstand. So he's going to give you wisdom in the situation for what you can do and how you can make a difference. And you know, sometimes it's just the persistence and the small thing that you do on a regular basis that will make a massive difference in the long run. So sometimes you just got to say, what's that little thing that I can do? You know, I mean, I saw this thing not too long ago about a guy that just, you know, he was just planting some trees and he just started. And he just kept doing it for years and years and years and years. I mean, until he pretty much planted and grew an entire forest. A massive forest. So, you know, but it's just by doing a little bit all the time. Doing a little bit all the time. And in the process of doing that little bit, it's going to amount to a lot. In the process of making your contribution as the Spirit of God will quicken you and lead you, as if you're just a force of good according to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, you're going to make an impact. But don't allow for the world to overwhelm you and to also dictate who you are, what you're about, what your thought process should be, what your priorities should be. Don't allow them to take that, because God's far more creative in what he does and how he does it than anything that the world would try to offer you as a life and an option and an alternative. The world has nothing for you. The best ideas the world has are nothing compared to what God can do in and through and for you. And his plan for you is life. His plan for you is truth. His plan for you has tremendous fulfillment. Even if it's maybe a difficult road to go on, a difficult road to be on for a while. So, you know, the path may be rough, but it's an incredible journey, and it's what God intends for you. So, know that your days are numbered. Know that God knows the number of your hairs on your head. He that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. But we need to be encouraged and do our part. You got to be encouraged and do your part. And as you do your part, God will continue to flow in and through you and make the difference that's necessary in the time that we live in right now. The body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ needs the children of God to be responsive and to be responsive to what God has and intends for to take place at such a time as this. But without us engaging and doing our part, things won't happen, things won't change the way that they need to. God wants us to step up. And God works through people. He partnered with Adam to do certain things at the start. He'll partner with all of us to do certain things right now. So do your part, do what God has for you to do, and trust him and know that he that began that good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. With that, God bless you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We always love to hear from you. God bless you. Don't worry about anything. In all things, know that God's in control. We love you guys. Praying for you. God bless you. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. Bye.